Hey, what's going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And my friends, happy Monday. We're back at it again with another amazing guest. This morning, we've got a former truck driver or a full-time truck driver who has gained 59,000 followers on social in 9 weeks. I want to remind everybody that any of the guests that you see here on the show, their results are not typical. I mean, you could get better results, you know, less results, no results at all. It all depends on the work, the consistency, skills, talent, all of those things, your ability to be able to follow instructions and follow through with things. So we definitely still want to tell these stories and showcase these experiences for inspiration and educational purposes. All of these guests that you see on the show, they're not scripted, prepped. They don't know what questions I'm going to ask. This is a free-flowing conversation to try to get, you know, the full picture of what their experience has been like here, starting, in this case, Sean, a full-time truck driver, obviously not a marketing guru expert, or maybe even would be considered a newbie marketer. We'll get a little bit more of his backstory and what he's done in the past, but we hope that these stories give you the you know, proper expectations, and we also hope that they inspire you to show you what is possible if you do put you do learn these skills and you put them into action. And so, with that being said, my friends, please help me welcome to the show, March 25th at 10:06. a.m. Eastern time. Sean, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, how's it going?
Fantastic, man. Where are you calling in from?
Kansas City, Missouri.
All right. Home of the Tulsa King. Wait, Kansas City. No, Tulsa. Wait,
I was home of the Chief.
Chiefs. Right, Chiefs. But I was recently watching the Sylvester Stallone Tulsa King show, and I think it takes place near there. But anyways.
Oh yeah.
Kansas City. Wow. Internet marketers can happen in Kansas City, huh?
Yep. I guess they come out of everywhere, huh?
They do, man. We come out of the woodwork, brother. We come out of the woodwork. So full-time truck driver, you still driving?
I am.
Okay. Are you home on in between jobs or in between loads or something right now?
So I'm home every night. It's just like, it's a, I guess you'd say regional. I go out maybe 3 hours, come back.
Okay.
So nothing too far.
Yeah. Thanks for spending your morning with us. It's 9 a.m. there right now, I believe, right?
Yes. Yep.
Good. All right, man. You got your coffee? You got a little coffee in you?
I've got a Alani.
Okay.
Energy drink.
Well, okay. Alani energy drink. I got you. All right. Well, I got my, you know, paper cup here full of coffee. So, let's get into this, man. What have you ever done anything like this before, first of all?
Yeah, so back in, like, I think 2016, I was doing e-commerce, just the typical Shopify and Alibaba garbage products.
Okay.
Until I wouldn't say I failed, but I didn't make any money off of it. I pretty much broke even after almost a year of trying to make it work, but. And then after that, I got into some other random side hustles, crypto, NFT here and there, but never really made any money. And then I randomly found you guys around 2020. And I think that's when I bought the challenge, and I never did anything with it until about last year, around January, February. So
what brought you back to us?
I just seeing it everywhere and thinking that I could have been doing this for the last 3 years straight and probably would have been a lot further along if I would have just started it back then. But yeah. I was always too scared to get on camera and create a TikTok and do everything that everybody else was doing. I didn't have the confidence to do it.
Yeah. So what changed for you? I mean, did you kind of say to yourself, you know, that's a pretty big limiting belief that so many of us deal with, which is, you know, getting on camera, putting ourselves out there. It's always awkward at first. How did you overcome that? I mean, was it just kind of an effort moment? Was it, you know, kind of hey, let me talk myself into this? Was it something that you did or said to yourself?
Yeah, I think mainly it was about worrying about what the people I knew would think about me. So I just created a TikTok. I felt like that was the social media platform that would show people closest to me like last, rather than going on Facebook or Instagram. Mm. And I just blocked everybody I knew and then just started from there. One video a day. I mean, I still get nervous on camera, as you can see, but.
Yeah. Well, I don't notice. I mean, I think that sometimes we think that, you know, we look as nervous as we feel. And I don't always think, I actually know that's not true, because I have been nervous or anxious so many times, whether I'm speaking in front of people or on camera or whatever. And, you know, I don't think that I look as nervous as I feel. So I think that's kind of like, you know, I think that's something that's very important that you just said. And I think that's something for us all to kind of, yeah, Amanda even says, I can't tell that you're nervous at all. Rachel, you're doing great. Incredible how much crap in our head stops us. You know what I mean? It's like, I think that, what John says, holy cow, this is my story, except I haven't come back yet. Well, thanks for being here on Wake Up Legendary this morning. But I just wonder if who else can relate to that, you know, feeling like, well, I'm nervous and anxious. I must look like a hot mess to everybody. Right. You know what I mean? And
100%.
That stops us and holds us back in a major way. What does that land for you?
For sure.
Yeah. 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 Claire says same here. Gail says, oh, heck yeah. Louis says, oh, definitely. I feel like that. Yes, for sure. So I think that that's really cool, man, that you identified that and kind of shared that. That's why I think these shows are so powerful. Kapil says people who don't know you can't tell whether you're nervous or not, especially on camera, right? Hey, Maybach says, how do we get over that? And what would you say to that?
One day at a time, just keep showing up. And I mean, you get used to it a little bit, little by little.
That's video at a time, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. IA Design says nervous every time. David says concerned about the same things. That's the other thing. I think we get so concerned and we look into the future and those concerns literally paralyze us because we just stay in this state of being concerned, which was probably, it sounded a little bit like what you were going through with concerned about fill in the blank, right? My friends, family were going to see me. And what did you tell yourself? And think what?
I mean, that's what held me back for so long. And then finally, when I said, screw it, and I started blocking everyone, and I was like, well, if they find it, they find it. I mean, their opinions, what are their opinions going to do to me?
Yeah. Andy says, put off doing videos for so long because scared to death to do it. You know, so proud of you, Sean says. Sarah, fear is a liar. I trip over my words and afraid I'll look stupid. So, hey, thank you for everybody's honest comments. What helped you to get over it, Sean? And what have you learned about yourself? I usually ask this a little later in the show, but what helped you to get over that? And what have you learned about yourself or about people through this process of beginning to publish content?
Well, I think making videos without speaking helps a lot. I mean, a lot of the text over screen, that's pretty much what I do. Okay. And then when I do make videos where I speak, there's a cut probably after every sentence, but you can't really tell. When some random person's watching your video, they can't tell that you cut it so many times. Mm. But I mean, you just learn that you're capable of more than what you, like what everybody was saying, like everybody has limiting beliefs, but you're more than capable of your actual beliefs. So I don't know. I think as time has gone on, it's gotten easier.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still struggle every day to make speaking videos or come up with ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you have you done videos where you do just speak all the way through?
Oh, no, not even close.
Really?
I can get maybe two or three lines out, even if it's scripted and written out, but then I'll fumble my words or just forget what I was going to say altogether.
Yeah. And that's interesting because, you know, 13 years later in my career, I, when I record something, the thought and, you know, the idea and even the implementation of editing it would take so long in my eyes that I would just think, oh my gosh, you know, like I can't imagine sitting here editing this up, because I wouldn't want to waste all that time. I just want to publish, get it out and get on to the next thing. And that's not, I haven't always thought like that, but that is, I think, where we all can get to. And again, there's things that I'm new at. I'm not perfect at all of this. You know, there's things that you do in a truck as second nature that I would get in and fumble over my actions and words. The other thing is fumbling over your words in videos. I think so often, and I used to do this, we really think we need to perform every word perfectly.
Yeah.
And so if we feel like we fumbled a word in a video, we stop. Do you do that?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And have you ever tried to, if you fumble a video, just keep going?
Well, I mean, I do, but at the same time, you have 1 minute, and then with everybody's attention spans, they'll just scroll past you if you seem like you're it. So I just try to cut it all out. Yeah. I know what you're saying, and I know it makes a lot more sense. It just
Right. And it can make sense, like when you think about it, but yes, the implementation and getting everything out. I just, when we're recording videos, and this is why I kind of encourage people to go live. Just even if it's just a practice, because, you know, every action that we take in our business doesn't have to have an immediate income outcome. You know, just because you didn't make money right after posting a video or drive traffic into a funnel and make a sale doesn't mean that you didn't get something out of it. I mean, with going live, you're forced to, like right now, you're forced to
talk. Yeah, that's my first time ever. So
are you serious?
I'm dying inside right now. Yeah.
Great, man. You're doing great. I mean, it's just like talking to friends. That's how I feel. Just talking to a buddy, man.
Yeah.
So what's working for you, brother? I mean, what do you feel? You mentioned the videos, text over screen. When you are cutting, let's talk about what you're using. Are you using CapCut to edit your videos?
A lot of videos I make in TikTok, and their editor has gotten a lot better. So I used to use CapCut a lot. Mm-hmm. But recently I've been using TikTok, and then I'll even record my videos on TikTok sometimes and cut them up and then just download them with nothing and then upload them to Instagram and do my words over screen over there.
So I just feel like you really like the TikTok editor, just stop as it comes.
Yeah, Instagram seems like they're way behind.
Mm. Susie said you're definitely need to go live because you're so humble and real. Self-deprecation can be extremely entertaining too. Yeah, right? And I think that's what one thing that I've learned from a lot of comedians, right, is kind of a lot of their gigs are just them making fun of themselves.
Right. But
for whatever reason, we feel like when we get on camera, we need to portray ourselves as perfect when ultimately it is more entertaining and you connect with the audience better when you just make fun of yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
And that's kind of why I've gotten comfortable on the camera. Like, you know, whether it be not shaving or wearing the same thing every day or acting like a fool, throwing my hat around, you know, ranting and raving on live like I do on Wake Up Legendary, because I think that just resonates with people. What of your content, how are you connecting with people? Do you find that the less produced or the videos that you didn't think were going to do well because they were so, in your eyes, crappy or whatever, ended up being the ones that did better? Talk to us a little bit about, you know, things that have surprised you in your content creation.
That's pretty much exactly what it is. It seems like the videos you spend the least time on, or the days that I almost skip because I don't know what to post or I don't feel like posting, and I just throw one up there, those are always the ones, not always, but they seem like the ones that go viral, or they just get more views than the other ones do, compared to the ones where you sit there in the editor for 30 minutes and try to make everything perfect. That's pretty much exactly what you said.
Yeah. So what is the difference in your eyes between our TikTok and Instagram, the main platforms that you're using right now?
Yeah, I mean, I upload to everything. It's just the same video that I create on TikTok and Instagram. I just upload it to a Facebook profile, a page, TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about what you feel is the difference between the platforms and kind of why you do things the way that you do.
Well, I like that you can use ManyChat on Instagram, and I think that helps a lot, because when you do have a video that starts to take off, it's hard to keep up with comments. And with TikTok, I had one account get banned at 30,000 followers. So that set me back for a couple months. And before that, I wasn't posting on Facebook and Instagram consistently. I would just randomly throw a video up. So basically, once I stopped focusing so much attention on TikTok and more on Instagram and trying to grow my Instagram, is when I started seeing real growth. I think TikTok's a little strict and maybe overly strict on what they allow. And so when I lost that first account, I kind of fell behind. But then once I started focusing on Instagram, that's when everything started being more consistent.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then all my accounts pretty much grew together once I started posting all my videos consistently across all four platforms.
Yeah. Well, TikTok's under the microscope right now with them. I mean, there's a bill right now in the U.S. government that's, you know, about getting TikTok out of the United States. Right.
It's so crazy. Yeah.
You know, it is a little crazy because it's, I mean, at its core, it's really no different than the other social media.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's the inspiration for all the other platforms right now, which is so weird. Right. This is what's wrong, I think, with kind of how we regulate things, is that, you know, Instagram and Facebook both copied TikTok. Took their algorithm almost line for line and duplicated it, where they pushed the thing that was magical, just for everybody's knowledge. The thing that was magical about TikTok 4 years ago was that when it kind of came exploding onto the platform, on the world, was that it would take your videos and push them to people who didn't only follow you. Whereas on Instagram and Facebook, your content only ever got pushed to people who actually were your friends or who followed you or liked your business page. It wouldn't go out beyond that. And then TikTok came up with this algorithm and this platform that would give normal people an opportunity to go viral, essentially, and get their videos on the For You page, which was the page that TikTok just thought would be interesting content that you would like. And now all of a sudden, people who had never gotten more than a couple of dozen or 100 views because they had small followings, now all of a sudden their videos were getting thousands or tens or hundreds of thousands of views, millions of views. And so that had people, that's why TikTok blew up the way that it did. That's why all the content creators, marketers, influencers went over onto TikTok. And then once Instagram and Facebook saw that, they lost so many of the content creators. Everybody went over to TikTok. Well, they created an algorithm that did the exact same thing with your videos. They came out with Reels. And Reels pushed your videos out to people who weren't just following you. And so now all of a sudden, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, they're all doing the same exact thing, but TikTok is under scrutiny. And it's because it's a Chinese company and all this stuff. But the truth of the matter is they're just taking the heat. So because they're taking the heat, they're really cutting down on what videos they allow you to post there because they don't want to be kicked out of the United States. And there's no reason to kick them out of the United States. There's right. really not. It's just ego and it's politics and it's BS. And somebody in the government or wherever they are wants to be able to say they took down a big Chinese company. It is a Chinese company. It is. ByteDance, who owns TikTok, is a Chinese company. But they have, you know, TikTok has made commitments that they're going to keep all their servers in the United States and partner with companies here in the United States. They're doing everything that they can. So I only give you guys that history lesson to help you to understand that why platforms change, why they ban people, why they kick, because they're trying to keep, you know, anything that is a little bit more, you know, all the crypto stuff, all anything that's make money, anything that's, I'm sure there's tons of other niches that they're cracking down on, if you will, in banning content from. But it's, you know, it's the same exact content that Facebook and Instagram and all the other platforms allow. Right. Yeah. You know, which
but they're not saying anything about that.
No. No, they aren't, because those are American companies, and those companies, you know, pay a lot in American taxes and provide a lot of American jobs. And so that would devastate a large. I mean, imagine taking away Facebook. I mean, my 75-year-old uncle just realized that, you know, he started selling things on Facebook Marketplace, and he's like, Marketplace is amazing. I mean, it's the new Craigslist, for God's sakes. Interesting question. Lila says, how do you handle trolls? Sean, I want to ask you not only from the perspective of people that you don't know, but how do you handle also criticism from people that you do know?
I mean, when it comes to in the comments and online, I go back and forth sometimes. I don't know what it is about the clown emoji, but it really kind of pisses me off. So those are the ones I kind of clap back at, and then I block them instantly, or otherwise I just hide and then block those comments. But then when it comes to like friends and family, I've had maybe 5 to 10 people find it at this point. A lot of them just send them to my wife and like, is this really him? Is this what he's doing now? And then I'm like, whatever, I'll find them and I'll block them too. So thanks for letting me know you're watching. And then, I mean, I've had a couple buddies give me, just joke around, and then I mean you just say it's what I'm doing, yep, and then I mean that conversation's over. So if you don't feed into it, it's like it never happened.
Yeah that's really been my experience as well, is you just kind of ignore it, right? I mean, you've only got limited energy in the day, and so why spend it explaining yourself to others? Has this given you new perspective on who you owe explanation to?
Oh yeah. It makes me, I mean, I used to say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me, but I think deep down, maybe I did a little bit, but now it's just gotten to the point where think what you want, say what you want. It really doesn't affect me anymore.
Yeah. I think we will always care what people think. And for me, it's been, who do I care has changed. Right. Over the years, it's like I no longer care what people think who I used to care. Now I care about a new group of people.
Right, for sure.
You know, if you're doing business with me, if you're somebody who is a friend who lifts me up, you know, I've got agreements with my very close friends that we're not going to do anything except pick each other up. You know, there are other entrepreneurs, there are other guys who, you know, understand what I'm doing. They support what I'm doing. I support what they're doing. We don't have to understand everything about each other's businesses, but we do know that we're both on the same path of entrepreneurship. And, you know, sometimes if you're going to choose a different path, you sometimes have to choose different friends. And what happens is when you choose a new group of friends who are entrepreneurial, sometimes your old 9-to-5 buddies, it's not that you say, oh, I'm done with you, I'm not going to hang out with you, but you have more desire to hang out with this new group of entrepreneur friends. And sometimes you just grow apart. You just stop talking to that old group of friends. You stop reaching for them when you're looking for people to hang out with. You stop calling them when you're looking for somebody to talk to. And it just naturally kind of, now they may say, hey, you don't, you know, what, and I think depending on what they say in those situations is also a great sign whether they're the right friend for you. If they say, oh, you know, Sean thinks he's better than everybody now, that might be a clue that that person is not a good person to grow into the next chapter of your life with. Right. Now, if they come to you and they say, hey, Sean, brother, I miss you, man. Let's hang out, brother. I mean, I just want to hang out with you and reconnect. Now, that's an approach that I can respect and appreciate, and I'm responsive to. But if somebody says, oh, you think you're better than, you don't hang out anymore, I mean, that's a fast clue. Blah, you know, move on. That's not, does that resonate with you? Does that, comes up to you as I talk about that, you have to be experiencing some of this.
Yeah. So I've never had anybody actually like say, oh, you think you're too good for anybody. I'm 36 now, so I don't really hang out with my friends all the time anyways, that between work and kids, sports and dinner and everything, there's hardly any time anyways. I mean, every once in a while we still get together with friends, but yeah, I mean, I don't see, this is what I'm talking about. I'm fumbling over my words and then I lose my train of thought.
Oh, it's
funny. Yeah, people make jokes and stuff like that. It's nothing too serious, but nobody's really been like hateful about it.
Yeah. So what else is big for you in your business? I mean, if you were to think about what are the main income producing activities that you focus on now after having some time building your business, what are those things? And you're obviously in the make money online or online wealth niche. Is there a particular reason why you decided to go into that topic and talk about those things, promote those kind of products?
It just seemed like those are the videos that I've always watched, and kind of entrepreneurship YouTube videos here and there. And it just seemed like the right path to go down. But, for about the first 6 months, I didn't have a lead magnet. I think one of my problems was listening to too many people at once, where one guy would say, you don't want a free lead magnet, because you don't want free people on your email list. You want only buyers. So in my mind, for the first 5 to 6 months, I was like, well, I don't want non-buyers on my email list, so I'm not going to use a free ebook. Once I finally got that out of my head and I created my ebook, and I started offering that up and asking for people to like drop a keyword in the comments, that's what really pushed my engagement. And that's what really started pushing my videos to go further and further. And then obviously when your videos go further, it's pretty much a numbers game. Start making more commissions and just getting more and more people on your email list that way.
Yeah. So that lead magnet was a big piece for you.
I think the lead magnet was probably a game changer.
And it's really having something to give away to people in exchange for their email. They're looking
right
for an appetizer, that first piece of value that they can get in exchange for their email address. And that allows you both to walk away from the situation getting something that you want. You get the email address, they get something that they can look over to see if they're interested in it and if they get value from it. And both are happy. None have lost anything. And it's an opportunity for them to see if they want to continue to go down the path of getting more information or potentially purchasing something or some things. I love that. I love that you brought that up. What did you learn about creating your lead magnet? What sort of tips do you have? What did you realize was important? What was not so important about it?
I think I overthought it, and I probably went too far in depth in my ebook trying to explain every single thing that I did. But I always thought it was going to be like this huge deal and take so long to create. And then I don't know. So, I mean, once I got it finished and I put it up, it just took off.
Yeah. And when you say took off, do you mean that just your opt-ins in your lead generation just massively increased?
Yeah. I mean, because there would be days where I wouldn't get a single email sign up. And then once I finally started, like you said, offering value or a trade so someone feels like they're getting something out of my videos or my content, then that's when it really started to pick up.
Well, in lead flow is the traffic, yes, getting traffic from social media platforms into your sales funnels or onto your websites. That is key. That is the life. That is the without that there is no business. But lead generation is the kind of blood flow of your business. Without people coming in and opting into your funnels, giving you the ability for you to follow up with them via email, you don't have a business. You don't have an online business.
Right.
You know, too many people are simply relying on social media to just direct them right from a link onto a sales page. And most people are not ready to buy right away. I mean, that's how our business operates and has operated is by giving away something up front in exchange for just either for free, whether that be a download or an ebook or a video, and then offering them something for low cost, a few dollars, and giving them an opportunity to digest that, and then offering people an opportunity to go and invest in something more advanced with more accountability. That's what I was taught. That's what I've modeled. That's what every single successful marketer does. That's what every single successful business does. You know, it's not just us in the online world. Every business offers something or gives people a buying path to start somewhere. It's an entry level, this car, watch, entry level, whatever you want, class. And then if they like it and if it resonates with them, to give them the ability to be able to ascend or to continue in get more accountability, more education. So I love that. What else? What else is coming up for you that's been key?
Just following one path and trying to follow one person. And when you see what works for one person, just follow that one person and just stop trying to listen to so many voices at once. And I had a bunch of notes that I took. I don't even, can I mention one thing about, there's so many impersonators with my profiles, mm-hmm, that I mean, I've reported and blocked a ton of them, but they just pop up, mm-hmm, everywhere. Like, I have people messaging me, asking me if I messaged them, and I'm like, our message history is blank. So obviously I'm not, but I just wanted to warn everybody.
There's imposters out there and people are posing as you, and you, and that's problematic for you. It's also problematic for others, right? Because they're thinking that it's you, and they're probably offering different, opportunity scams disguised as opportunities. let me guess, probably crypto stuff or something of that nature, right?
Yeah, and that's why I didn't want to mention that I used to do crypto, because I feel like I can't even talk about stuff like that now, because there's so many people that are trying to message people and have them send them money. I mean, at some point you got to use common sense, but I mean, I guess these people can be convincing. I wish I had their skills sometimes.
No, you're right, and it's a huge problem. You know, people it's a whole multi, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a $1 billion industry. I don't know, but I can't tell you the amount of people who I know in various different, and it's not just our community, it's people, you know. I had, my aunt was messaged by Tom Brady, I was like, wow, you know, and she didn't know what to believe, you know, So, you know, we really got to be careful out here on the internet. We're usually not going to get, anytime somebody reaches out to you and messages you, you need to really verify that it's them. You know, you need to go and search their name in Instagram, make sure they don't have any other verified account where it's, you know, it says the official account, or it's got a blue check mark. But especially if they're asking you to, first of all, wasting time chatting back and forth, in anytime anybody wants to get to know you,
right? I mean,
none of us are chatting with people like that. Most of us don't even send messages. But then especially if somebody starts talking crypto, or if somebody starts trying to get you to send them money, major red flag, people. And the problem is that they're promising things that are too good to be true. And you fall for that. You have to not be naive, and you have to not let your, that kind of, I hate to say it because you're not at fault here, but you can't allow your greed to get the best of you. You know, in 10 out of 10 times, they're offering you something that is absolutely too good to be true. You're going to send them 10,000, they're going to invest it and send you back 20 or whatever. You know, look, that's not how business works. And so I'm glad you brought that up. It's going to happen to all of you. If you build a presence in a brand online, you're also going to have impersonating accounts. What do you do when you find an account that impersonates you? Do you go, how do you get those taken down?
Honestly, I don't know. I've reported them on almost every platform, and they still, I mean, it just, Facebook gives you an automated response, like, we'll look into this, but then you never know if they ever take it down or not. I usually just report them and then block them. On TikTok, they'll actually sometimes give you a response and it'll say, we found no violations. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't make any sense, but it'll be like one letter off of my name using my profile picture, copy and paste of my bio. And then they'll download my videos and put them on their profile, and then they'll send messages. So, I mean, you can report them and stuff, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Let me just send in a message there. Dude, it's a problem, and I'm glad you brought it up, and everybody needs to be very careful out here on the internet. What advice would you go back and give yourself, brother, if you could go back and talk to yourself from the beginning? What would you say, knowing what you know now?
Stop worrying about what other people think. Stop making excuses of how I don't have time. Everybody has an hour or two a day, even if it's 30 minutes a day, it compounds over time. Just holding myself back from being on camera, it's all inside your head. Yeah. Kind of like, I mean, I still feel nervous, and we're on minute number 40, and I mean, it'll be over and like it never happened. So just show up consistently every single day. That's pretty much it.
Let's get a double hat throw for that one.
No, I can't take my hat.
Oh, you can't? You ain't taking your hat off?
No way, man. I'm balding. So that's why I wear a hat in all my videos. And people have commented on that too. I'm like, it's whatever. I'm still going to wear my hat. Your opinion doesn't matter.
There you go, brother. Well, hey, I'm glad that you're living your, I'm glad that you're doing what you need to do for you, despite, you know, fears and concerns, and not allowing, you know, those things to hold you back. You know, it's really what you deserve. It's what your family deserves. You know, I this is a powerful message for everybody to hear this morning. Elizabeth says, Sean, no hair, no problem.
Easy for you to say.
Well, you know, I hear you, man. And, you know, this is a process of, you know, really learning, to embrace ourselves, and certainly, you know, seeing ourselves on camera, especially as we get older, can be rather shocking. You know, it really can. You pull up on that, you pull that damn camera up and you're like, holy shit, you know,
who
is that? You know, I mean, I know I've done that many times over the last couple of years as I've continued to get grayer and grayer. I'm kind of like, where did this come from? You know, what the hell is going on? But, you know, it's a beautiful thing when we you know, embrace ourselves, and that first step is the step that you've made, which is, you know, to get started and to not allow, not just other people's opinions, but also your own fears and concerns to hold you back. And then I think we learn to, get more comfortable. And I can't wait to follow your journey and see, you know, how you're doing here over the next few months and years. And I know this is just the beginning of your success, man. So keep up the great work, brother. Thanks for coming on today, spending a powerful 45 minutes with me here this morning. And come back and see me again in the near future. You did great on your first live this morning.
Thank you, man. I appreciate everything you guys do.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Stay legendary, man.
All right.
All right, my friends, you can go and find Sean over at Sean Casey on Facebook. That's his verified account. You can also find him over on Instagram at 100K Affiliate. That's 100K Affiliate. And if you want to get started, my friends, with any of our courses, whether it be our 15-day challenge, business blueprints, come to a mastermind, you can go to legendarymarketer.com/enroll. Get started with that. If you want to get a text message reminder, whenever we go live, 10 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, you can text WUL to 813-296-8553. And we'll be happy to send you a text message. You can unsubscribe from that list at any time. But at least you'll get those notifications with a link to just jump right over here. Remember, we take the audio and we put it up on all the major podcast platforms. So you can listen to all of these episodes in the audio form right in your headphones, which I'm on so often throughout the day, and walk around. And so many of these episodes are powerful just listening to them from the audio as well. It's nice to see people's faces. It's nice to sit down with a cup of coffee and listen and tune in, for sure. We love you all being here. Thanks for the comments. So he's awesome. Super authentic. So glad you had him on the show. Agree, Connie. Hey, Sarah says you did amazing on your first live, Sean. Thank you, Sean and Dave, for lots of inspiration. Another amazing Wake Up Legendary. Thank you for the realness always, Dave. Awesome job, Sean. Thanks, Bonnie. Wendy, thank you both. You're welcome. Michael, you're a rock star, Sean. He did awesome. You were awesome. Don't give up. Great first live. Thanks for your time today, Dave and Sean. You're welcome. Very relatable, Wake Up Legendary. Awesome. Awesome call, Sean and Dave. You're so inspiring, Sean. Great show. On the real, very true. Embrace the new you, bro. Gray is wisdom and experience. Thank you for that. I'd say balding and gray. You're looking sharp, Dave. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, my friends, first time on here and needed to hear this. Awesome, Lila. Hey, I walked into this fire interview. Glad you did. Glad you did, my friends. You all are so supportive and just wonderful. I love spending my morning with you. So, we'll see you back here tomorrow for another amazing episode, another amazing guest. With that being said, have a great day. Get out of here. Stay legendary. And we'll see you tomorrow.